In the name of Jesus. When Frodo Baggins first encounters the mysterious Strider at the inn of the Prancing Pony in the Fellowship of the Ring, his friends are not so sure about him. See, they had recently been spooked and narrowly escaped riders dressed all in black. And one look at this rough character sitting alone in the corner, interested in what these little hobbits were doing, made them want to take off and run back home. But Frodo responds, "You have frightened me several times tonight, but never in the way that servants of the enemy would, or so I imagine. I think one of his spies would, well, seem fairer and feel fouler, if you understand." And then Strider responds, "I see. I look foul and feel fair. Is that it? All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost." Now, this is essentially what your mother taught you when you were a kid, when she told you not to judge a book by its cover. First impressions do mean a lot, but oftentimes they are completely deceiving once you begin to learn to know somebody a little bit better. Outward appearances often hide something totally different underneath. And Jesus warns us today about being too hasty to judge based upon outward appearances. And this is especially true with preachers, Jesus says. In fact, there is only one way to tell a true prophet, someone who is truly preaching God's word and is truly sent from God, and it is not by the way that he looks. So beware of false prophets who look better than they preach. You've probably seen this guy before. He's got every hair right in its exact place, held with just the right amount of styling product. His skin's immaculate, with just a tiny touch of makeup to hide the blemishes. Teeth so straight and white that they almost sparkle when he flashes you a smile. Body sculpted by a private CrossFit trainer. A $1,000 suit pressed just right with a matching tie. Or maybe it's a designer graphic tee with jeans that are ripped in just the right spot. You know, it takes a lot of time, a lot of work, and a lot of money to make yourself look that good. But looks can be deceiving. Anyone with time, work, or money can put on a facade of good looks, but that doesn't mean that what he says or what he does is any good. In fact, a lot of times people who make themselves up to look so good are trying to hide something pretty bad underneath. Conversely, a man who's aging, overweight, slightly balding, and fashionably unkempt may look a little sloppy, a little unattractive, but he could speak words of pure gold. So a good preacher may be, and maybe should be, a little rough around the edges, but from his mouth comes the voice of the true shepherd. "Be on guard from false prophets," Jesus says, "who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are savage wolves." How will you know? From their fruits, you will recognize them. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears healthy fruit, but the rotten tree bears evil fruit. A good tree is not able to bear evil fruit, nor a rotten tree to bear healthy fruit. Just not possible. Jesus says that you will recognize false prophets, that is, false preachers, by their fruits. But a preacher's fruit isn't what he wears or how he looks or even how he conducts himself in life. It's not a matter of him being a good citizen or just a nice guy to hang out with. If you want to extend the tree analogy just a step further, all of those things are kind of like the bark of a tree. The bark might look good on the outside, but inside is a rotting disease. And it produces nasty fruit. No, the fruit of a preacher is the content of his preaching. So how can you begin to measure what's a good fruit and what is rotting, nasty, diseased fruit? Well, the first place to start when you hear a sermon is, does it mention Jesus? Right off the bat, you can eliminate a good number of so-called Christian sermons that, for whatever reason, never seem to mention Jesus, the Christ. How can it be Christian if it doesn't mention the Christ? Instead, he preaches more about you. Steps to improve your life, to make things better in your business, in your family, in your friendships. But Jesus is never there. But simply mentioning Jesus in a sermon isn't enough to make it a Christian sermon. The second measure is to see, is Jesus running the verbs? So you can mention Jesus, but it can still be a sermon all about you. Is Jesus the active one, or is he simply a passive observer? Someone who's expecting you to get all the work done. Is he the one who's waiting around for you to come to him, to search for him, to reconcile yourself to him, to serve him, to praise him? If the sermon is simply about what you are doing for Jesus, then it's bad fruit. It doesn't matter how much you mention Jesus, it's not the Jesus of the Bible. See, in the beginning, God created man in his own image, and ever since, we've been trying to repay the favor, trying to recreate a Jesus in our image. It's a Jesus of a preacher's own invention. It sounds an awful lot like a Christian sermon, but it's a sermon that does not preach Christ. It preaches you. You as the author and the perfecter of your own faith. And it robs Christ of his glory. Now, if you are fortunate enough to hear a sermon that first mentions Jesus in the first place, and then actually has Jesus doing something for you, saving you, redeeming you, loving you, the next question is, what is Jesus doing? What are the verbs that Jesus is running? Is he loving? Is he humbling himself? Is he suffering, dying, rising, forgiving? Is he renewing and reconciling himself to you? Or is he demanding your works and tribute? Is he simply setting you an example and then leaving you off to do your own thing? By their fruits, you will recognize them. Listen to sermons. Hear, do they speak of Christ? Is Christ the one who is acting on your behalf? And what is he actually doing for you? See, a preacher may look, he may look spectacular up there. He may be the best person you've ever seen in your life, but if he is not speaking God's word, he is giving you diseased fruit. On the other hand, the rough around the edges preacher isn't a whole lot to look at, but he speaks as a true shepherd. All that is gold does not glitter. Now, this rule for the preachers, wolves dressed in sheep's clothing, good-looking prophets that sometimes preach horrible doctrine, this rule is established not by some cosmic trick of the universe or some incomprehensible spiritual force, but it is established because of the nature of our true prophet, Jesus Christ. In him, resides all of the fullness of the deity bodily. St. Paul writes, hidden under the outward appearance of a normal man is true God. You can't tell it by looking at him. In life, Jesus was just an ordinary man, nothing special. He had no majesty that we should behold him, no beauty that we should desire him. And in his death, he was much worse. He was stricken by God, smitten and afflicted. He was despised by men and beaten to a bloody pulp. Who wants to have a God that looks like that? Then he was hung up on a tree that was stripped of all of its beauty and fashioned into a cross. And it was all because of the golden words that he spoke. But it's here, when Jesus is crucified, when he appears the most horrific and ugly image of man, it is here where we see our most beautiful Savior. Not because of his fine clothes, not because his hair was perfectly styled, not because of a winning smile or a perfectly sculpted body, but because on the cross we see him as the Lamb who was slain. And that ugly tree of death, an instrument of torture, becomes for us a tree of life because of the Savior that hangs on it. All disease and death and rot is cured by the fruit born on that tree. The precious blood that he shed is the content of all goodness and health, because that blood that he shed means forgiveness. And now in new life, risen from the dead, he still bears the marks of that fruitful tree right here in his hand. His open hand inside are continual witness to the forgiveness that he won for you, that still flows from him, just as the blood and water flowed from his pierced heart. Again and again, day after day, the fruits of his cross are distributed to you through God's word by a sheepdog who has been called and ordained to announce the grace of God unto all of you and to forgive you all your sins in the stead and by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, to wash you with baptismal waters, to feed you with the cross's fruit, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not just preachers and prophets that this healthy tree rule applies to, that something rotten can be hidden underneath a pretty nice looking exterior, and conversely, something beautiful can be hidden under something that's not so good. It applies to you also. Because when you eat of the fruits of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, by believing that because of these things your sins are forgiven and you are made right with God, your healing doesn't begin on the outside. Your renewal is not something that is visible to the eye. Jesus renews you by beginning with your heart, hidden underneath. The outward form is wasting away, getting older, getting weaker day by day. But inside, the new health is growing and producing new fruits. The old bark is chipping away, but Christ is at work in you, producing fruit. And it is fruit by which you are known. What are these fruits? St. Paul talks about them in Ephesians. In the place of malice is love. In the place of despair, joy. In the place of anxiety, peace. In place of anger, patience. In place of spite, kindness. In place of evil, goodness. In place of harshness, gentleness. And in place of lust, self-control. Where these things are begun and are present, there has Christ begun his work in you by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's difficult to see if you look in the mirror or look around you in this church. Sometimes it's almost impossible to see. But faith believes that this healing has begun and new life is started. In Jesus' name.